This is one of those days where it's that awkward space in between Christmas and New Year's where you go, do you say Happy New Year or do you say Happy or Merry Christmas from last week? Regardless of what you think we should say or how we do, like, we're glad that you're here. And here's the thing, like, I hope you had a phenomenal Christmas. How many of you enjoyed your Christmas break, enjoyed time with family and just being together? I hope you did. I know we did, and Karen and I had a really good time. For us as pastors, I mean, and my pastor's wife and family, like, Christmas and Easter are actually two of the busier times of life for us, and yet we still had the opportunity to just be together with family and just be within our family and enjoying each other's presence, and even amidst the craziness, and there was a lot that was going on within the church here during the Christmas season. A lot to celebrate, a lot to be excited about, even as we look into 2020. I mean, we did the Tree of Angels. We saw hundreds and hundreds of gifts go out to kids who needed them. We had our His Helping Hands Christmas distribution that went really well. We had our mountain of food that we are able to give out to all kinds of people throughout the year in terms of benevolence to help meet their needs. We had a team minister to a group of homeless people this season, just in the past few weeks. And not only that, but it's been fun to watch just as Gospel Life Encounter classes and the groups and community groups have been getting together and just fellowshipping and loving on one another and spending time eating good food, and like, that's part of what I love about Christmas, and I hope and pray that that's not something that we only do during Christmas, that it's something that we carry out throughout the year, that we get to engage in those things and continue to walk through those things. And, you know, when we started thinking about, like, what do we want to share at the beginning of 2020, which, think about that for just a minute. We're 20 years into the 2000s. Some of you may remember us entering into 2000, Y2K, and we're literally entering into the third decade of 2000. And so just there's a lot to think about. And we were thinking about what do we do as we enter into this new decade. You know, there's a lot of ways we could go. We could jump right back into our Luke series. We could do that. We could do all kinds of other things, go into another book of the Bible. But as we were engaging that conversation, I remember a conversation that I had with another pastor here in town just several months ago, and it's something that had really stuck in my head. And what we were talking about was really looking at our role as shepherds of the church and really realizing that what we see ourselves as is we're servants of the body of Christ, and that our desire is to step into lives and to minister and to serve and to really think about, like, everybody in the space and how can we help build up the body of Christ. And when you think about that, think about how challenging that is. And we were talking about a particular text in Scripture that really lays out really all the different types of people and all of the different spaces that we all kind of come through and come from. And so we're going to start this kind of new year with a couple of weeks kind of talking about, like, what do we hope for in 2020? And I want to start with a text out of 1 Thessalonians. And so if you've got your Bible, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. And while it's a short verse and we're not going to be doing it for a long time, I would ask that if you're able, would you please stand with me out of respect for God's word as we read? If you're new to Central or this seems a little odd to you, standing, we don't believe that standing is anything magical, but we do believe that it's important sometimes for us to posture our bodies to represent how we see something or to engage and show the value of something. And we believe in the authority of God's word and respect the authority of God's word. And so we stand out of that respect. And so, church, hear the word of the Lord for us this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Paul writing to the church of Thessalonica. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. Father, I look at this text and it's such a short text, and yet there is so much in it. And there's so much represented in it, even as I think about and look across this building and I see brothers and sisters in our Lord, and I think about where we all have come out of in 2019. And in many ways, this text represents a lot of us. It represents our lives. It represents who we are. And as we come to that, Father, we have this privilege to be able to, as your people come, and to sit under your word. Father, I just want to acknowledge and recognize this morning that even for those who might find themselves faint-hearted or in a place of weakness or even a place of strength, and as we talk about these things, Father, I recognize that my eloquence, my ability with words, that really will not have any effect on the hearts and the lives of your people, but it is a requirement that your Spirit would engage us and that he would open our eyes, that he would help us to see these things, that he would take these seeds of your word, which we know has power to convict and to challenge us and encourage us, and he would take those things and plant them deep into our lives. And so, Father, my prayer is this morning is not for a perfect communication, but, Father, that your Spirit would work in each of us. Lead us into this new decade, into this new year, into what you would have for us, into what you would want us to be. And so, Father, just pray that you would be with us this morning. Pray that you would bless our time, and ultimately, Lord, that you would give us your favor. It's in your name we pray all of these things. Amen. You may be seated. So, another Christmas is gone. And now we look forward to a new year, as we've already talked about. And I look around this room, and here's the thing. Like, I don't know how everybody is and how you approach the new year. I don't know if you are the New Year's resolution type of people or not. Some of you may be. I am not one that tends to make New Year's resolutions. I used to, and then I realized that I always seem to fail in them, and so I just kind of gave up, I guess, on the New Year's resolutions. So I don't know who you are in that space, but here's what I do know about a new year, is that I think all of us, even if we're not making some grand New Year's resolution, I think all of us look to a new year with an element of hope, right? Like, there's some kind of sense of stirring that, like, there's some new things on the horizon. There's some good things coming. There's hope. And so everybody in this room is thinking about the new year in a different way, and we all have different hopes. Some are thinking about the hope of graduating high school in just a few months and all that that entails. Or some are thinking about graduating from college and starting a career. Or some of you may be pregnant right now and thinking about the hope of having your family or start with a new baby. Or some of you may be in the process of thinking about adoption, and you have the hope of that child coming into your home for the first time. You may have a hope of a new promotion. Or maybe the hope is that you're going to read a book for the first time in multiple years this year. Or maybe you're like one of the countless millions who hope to lose that 10 pounds that we gained from Thanksgiving and New Year, and Christmas, right? Like, because we all ingest like a year's worth of calories in those two holidays. And we joke about that. We joke about, well, if I'm going to go to the gym in January, it's a nightmare because of all the people. So I'll just wait until they all quit and give up on their resolutions, and then we'll get back to the gym, kind of a thing. So here's the thing. And the reason I say this is when we come into a new year, I think there is reason to hope. We should hope, shouldn't we? Like, we should look to new things. I mean, you look at the Old Testament, and there's festivals, and there's feasts, and there's these moments where God calls us to look to the future and think about what's coming as we also think about the past. And we just sang a song about setting up Ebenezers, which are remembrances, but also looking to the future of what God has for us. And so when we do that, I think there is benefit even in setting goals. And maybe goals isn't the right thing. Maybe resolutions isn't the right word to use. But at least going into the new year and saying, like, okay, 2020, I really want to grow in this. I really want to change in this. I want to see some difference in my life, in my marriage, in my family, in these types of ways. And so we set goals. Now, here's the thing when we set goals. It's important for us when we set those goals, though, for us to understand where we're coming from and where we are, right, so that we can make good goals, okay? And so let me illustrate why that's important. I am not a marathon runner. I run occasionally only when I have to try to keep myself healthy. Some of you are marathon runners, and so you know the challenge on your body that takes. Not understanding who you are and where you are would be like some of you in the room tonight or today going, you know what, 2020, I am going to run a marathon. And you decide on Wednesday, January 1st, that you're going to go to the Y, and you're going to get up there, and you're going to stretch and get ready, and you're going to get on that treadmill, and you're going to type 26 miles. Is it 26 miles? Like 30, I don't even remember. Like I'm not. That's how much I'm not a runner. And you type 26 miles in that thing, and you say, well, 10-minute mile's good. And you think you're going to go from not walking faster than a brisk pace for the past 6 years to running a marathon, and you jump on that treadmill. What's going to happen? Well, you're going to end up like the guy that we named marathons after, which is the guy who ran to Athens to tell that the Persians were coming, 26 miles, and then died. Like, that's the legend. Like, that's what's going to happen, right? Because you don't go from 0 to 100 in one day, right? Like, you don't go from not running at all to running a marathon. You understand, like, there's a process. And so if you set those goals and you don't think about where you are now, then you're setting yourself up for challenge. You're setting yourself up for failure. Now here is the whole point of this. Physical goals are good. Going to the gym's great. Thinking about all kinds of that stuff is good, but spiritual goals are even better. And we need to be mindful of what we want to engage spiritually in 2020, but even before we do that, we need to take spiritual inventory, do we not? Where are we? How do I feel right now? And where am I spiritually right now? And coming on Wednesday, January 1st, everybody in this room is entering into a new decade in a completely different space. Some may be walking into 2020 feeling strong. Like you feel like the Lord has blessed you. You feel like you have grown in the Lord. You feel like you're connected to the Lord. You feel like you're learning from the Lord. Like you feel strong. Some are walking into 2020 in a space of idleness where you come to church week in and week out, but you're not really engaging in the work of the kingdom of God. Some are coming to the new year faint-hearted. And you just feel like, man, like this has been a long year, and I'm discouraged, and I am tired, and I'm just not even sure if I really want to keep going. Some of us in this space come to the new year, and we feel weak. And we go, man, I want to keep going. I want to move forward, but I just don't know how. I don't know what steps I need to take. And so how do I do that practically? And here's the thing. Isn't it true that we can be all of those things at one time? Like in one area of our life, we can feel really strong, while in another area of our life, we can feel really discouraged. In one area of our life, we can feel really discouraged. In another area, we can feel really weak. So here's the question. We won't know where we need to go for 2020 in the years to come and where we need to pray towards until we think about what Paul is calling us to in regards to these types of ideas. And I think that what's amazing about this text is I think it covers pretty much all of us. At some level, this is all of us. So let's jump in. Let's talk about, first and foremost, the one that we don't like, which is the admonishment, and that is the admonishment of the idol. Now, what is the idol? Now, it's important to understand, first and foremost, that when you look at the Greek in this 1 Thessalonians, idol doesn't mean lazy. That's not what this talks about. Now, there may be some laziness involved in that idea, but from the Greek perspective, this is more of a disorderliness. This is a busyness that may not be the right kind of busyness. So, again, I'm not a runner, but I'm going to continue on with the running analogy for the rest of our time just because I think it's helpful. But if you are a marathon runner, you know that there's a certain rules when you run a marathon. Right, somebody who is disorderly running a marathon is the guy or the gal that when the race starts, they start zigzagging all over the place. They're not paying attention, and they run up next to you, and they start trying to have a conversation like, hey, so how's your family? What's going on? Hey, I don't like the way that they set this race up. Man, I don't like these new running shoes. And you're like, stop talking, I'm running. Right? Like you understand, like there's a certain way to do things, right? There's a certain direction you go. There's a certain way to run. And what Paul's saying here is that there was a whole bunch of people within the church in Thessalonica that were not running orderly. In other words, they weren't running towards the things that God had called them to run towards. They were running in a way that was causing destruction and division and hardship within the church. And so he's saying, listen, if that's you, like you need to be admonished. You need to be communicated. Like this isn't the right way to go. And so here's the thing, like we don't want to just be present. We don't want to just be a people who get and not give, who receive and don't pour into the body. who want to sit around and talk about all of the things that shouldn't be done and should be done, or all the things you don't like or do like. This is what was happening within the church in Thessalonica. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11 says this, "For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but they are busy at something. They're busy bodies." What's going on in the church in Thessalonica? This is exactly what they're doing. They're in the church and they're running in a disorderly way. They're not seeking to do what the church is supposed to do, which is to build up the body of Christ. Now, we see building up the body of Christ in multiple ways. Like, we want to build up the body that's here, the brothers and sisters that are here, to bring encouragement, to equip the body of Christ. But we also want to build up the body of Christ by seeing new people being added to the body of Christ. Amen? So what's happening is they're not about that goal. They're not about that. What they're about is sitting there in, well, they didn't have pews and chairs at the time, but they're sitting in the churches and they're just talking about everything. They're critiquing everything. And what Paul is saying is like, listen, like, you got to, with gentleness and love, admonish those people. And so that's simply what we do. If you are in a space of idleness and you're not engaging in the work of the church, like, here's the thing. You may think you're being beneficial, but you're not. And what's sad is you're not even experiencing the life that you can have within the church. Now listen, I'm going to be clear. There are absolutely seasons where you need to rest. Sometimes the church is bad about burning people out, and there's seasons that happens. Sometimes there's seasons where you need to heal, and that's fine, but those seasons shouldn't last forever. And we are called to engage. And here's the thing. If you see the church as a place for you to come and to be served and to critique instead of become a part of a movement and a participation of what God is calling us to do, then you are missing your call. You're missing your call. And you're missing what it is to be part of the church. And here's what's amazing about the whole thing is that, have you ever tried to complain and critique something that you're a part of? It's a lot harder, isn't it? Like, if you say, like, I see an area where I'm challenged, or I see a struggle here, like instead of just sitting on the outside and pointing fingers, you get into it. Now it becomes a lot harder to critique it, right? Because not only do you see the challenge, but yeah, you're engaged, you're invested in the challenges. That's simply what we're being called to here in this text. It's like, listen, get up, move, get involved, step into these things. So listen, if you don't like the way our children's ministry is doing something, fantastic. Use your gifts, step into the children's ministry, make it better. You don't like the way Sean does something with music? That's great. Step into the music ministry and make it better. You say, well, I don't know how to play an instrument. That's okay. You can still pray for them, get to know them, understand what they struggle with, understand how they pick songs. You can engage them, love on them, encourage them, not just be idle and sit and say, I don't like. So the admonishment for all of us this year as we move into 2020 is, listen, if you're here in the body of Christ and you're functioning idly, and it doesn't mean you don't serve, like, you can actually be idle serving in the kids ministry as you serve in the kids ministry and critique everything else, right? The idea is to get in and to engage. Why? Because we're all on the same team. We're all moving to the same things, all desiring to bring glory to God, all desiring to equip the church. That's what we are called to do. And so 2020, here's the admonishment. Get up and engage the body of Christ. Engage in your calling. Engage in the use of your gifts. We're never going to be the perfect church because we don't have perfect people. And you've heard that before. So help us make it better. Maybe in a small way. Maybe you serve in a gospel life class. Maybe you serve on the coffee team. Maybe you come to greet. Maybe you help our kids' ministries. Maybe you pray before the services. I don't know, but engage in some level, some way, using your gifts. Now, that's the hard part, right? That's the admonishment. But now Paul jumps into the next group of people. This is the faint-hearted. Faint-hearted. Listen, these are runners, to go back to the running analogy, who go, I want to run a marathon, and I've been training to run a marathon for 2 years, but I can't get past the sixth mile. I try and I try and I try, and I'm just discouraged, and I'm just tired. Like, I've done all the training I'm supposed to, but I just want to give up at the end of it because I'm not getting any better. I'm not getting any further. My minutes per mile is not getting better. This is the faint-hearted. It's those of us who want to move, and we're just discouraged. We're tired. And you know what? You can be discouraged about all kinds of stuff. Like, you go to the Word of God, and you want to hear the voice of God, and you engage it, but it doesn't make sense to you, or you struggle to hear God, and you try, and you try, and you try, and you just feel discouraged. You pray, and you don't feel like you hear the voice of God. And so it's like, well, why should I keep praying? You've been fighting the same sin for 10 years, 20 years, 15 years, and you're like, it just keeps coming back, and it's not getting any better. Like, why should I keep fighting? You're struggling with health challenges in your home, and it's not getting better, and you're like, I'm so tired. Like, why? I just want to give up. Like, listen, if you've never been faint-hearted, you will be someday. And the scripture is full of faint-hearted people, and this is not a bad thing. Some of the greatest saints that we know showed faint-heartedness. Think of Elijah. Elijah, one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, literally goes up onto Mount Carmel, which I've had the privilege of standing upon, and sees God send fire down upon an altar and burn up a sacrifice, and sees all the prophets of Baal be slaughtered. Within a week, Elijah is sitting underneath a broom tree asking God to kill him. He's faint-hearted. He's discouraged. He's tired. He's like, I'm all alone. Nobody's helping me. And what do we see? We see a loving God feed him and call him to the mountain of God. We see John the Baptist, and we're going to talk about John just in a few weeks when we jump back into Luke, and it looks like John is faint-hearted as he's in prison, and he's looking at Jesus going like, is he really the Messiah? I don't know. I'm going to send my disciples to ask because I'm sitting in prison, and this isn't the way it should work out for me, right? Paul, who wrote so much of the New Testament, I feel like you see faint-heartedness in Paul when he writes in Romans 7, like, why do I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I do want to do? Oh, who is going to deliver me from this body of death? Do you hear the faint-heartedness in Paul? Like, we all get there. We all engage that. We all get to that space at some point. And listen, I don't fully understand why, but it seems that this is a part of our faith journey. But here's what I know. Even as I look at my own life, as I look at the people in scriptures that went through seasons like this, is that what we always know is that at the end of it, God is there. In the middle of it, God is there. In the beginning of it, God is there. So if you are there and you're coming out of 19 and you are faint-hearted and you're just tired and you're hoping that 2020 might be different, this text is in calling you to be encouraged. Not admonished, not to feel berated, not to feel broken, but to be encouraged. Now here's where we get into the practicalities. Like, how do we engage this? How do we do more than just say, well, buck up, fix it, it'll all get better? Like, what do we do in the midst of that? That's what I want to share right now. So I think there's several things that we can do. The first thing is this: we need to hope in him. David, man after God's own heart, king of Israel, expressed a time of faint-heartedness in Psalm chapter 43. Listen to what he says in verse 5. Why are you so cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Anybody ever felt that? Like, I don't know why. Like, why am I so down? Why am I so discouraged? Why am I so downcast? What does David say? Hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Listen, David's encouragement didn't come from an answer to the question, why am I so downcast? And you may know why you're downcast. You may know why you're in turmoil, why you're in discouragement. But the point is his encouragement came from the reality that God is who God says he is. And God will always be faithful. God will always be present. God will never forsake his people. God is for us, not against us. This is our God. Amen? So our hope isn't in the change of our circumstances. The hope isn't in the fixing of things. The hope is in Him. Hope in God. Don't hope that everything gets better in your family. That's not the hope. The hope is in God. Now, He might lead us to that. But rest and restoration and encouragement comes from trusting in His faithfulness in the midst of those times of discouragement. Even when we may have been faithless, hope in God. Secondly, be still. If you are faint-hearted, be still. This is the hardest thing for me to do. This is the hardest thing for me to do. To realize that sometimes that there are those moments that doing less is actually better than doing more. Because when I get into a space where I'm discouraged, when I get into a place where I am faint-hearted, you know what I want to do? I want to work harder. I want to fix the problem. I want to white-knuckle this thing, and I'm going to get in there, and I want to do more things to try to make it get better, to try to stir my heart to be encouraged. And you know what we see time and time again is God's people, when they're faint-hearted, being still. Just being still. That is really hard for us. It's really hard for us. And listen, if you struggle with being still like I do, don't start 2020 and suddenly go from, you know what, I haven't been still with the Lord ever, so I'm going to do 2 hours a day. You know what? That'll last 2 days, maybe, if you're lucky. Take 30 minutes a day and just dedicate it to the Lord and say, like, I'm just going to be still. Like, I'm not even going to read my Bible during this 30 minutes. I'm going to communicate my heart, and I'm going to pour out. And you know what you might find yourself doing? You might find yourself weeping, you might find yourself venting, you might find yourself falling asleep, because God knows that's what you need. And what you're going to find in the minute of stillness is the voice of God. This is what Elijah found. Like, when he was in the midst of the faint-heartedness of his life, he was called to the mountain of God, and God wasn't in the earthquake, and he wasn't in the fire, he was in the still, small voice. Nothing will bring you out of discouragement like hearing the voice of God. Even if all it is you're sitting there and you're listening to creation and you're listening to the sound of your own heart beating and you hear the still small voice encourage you and say, my child, I'm here. That can be enough to keep you going. And here's the thing, brothers and sisters, stillness will not happen unless you schedule it. It won't. It doesn't for me, and it won't for any of us. And here's why: because we all live in a world where it's the tyranny of the urgent. Amen. Like, that's how we live. Like, we wake up in the morning, we just go. So you've got to schedule it. Schedule 30 minutes a day at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day, to just sit. And you say, well, what if I don't get anything out of it? That's not the point. But the point is to sit in the presence of God and let and just say, I'm just here. Just be still. Thirdly, if you're faint-hearted, and this is, by the way, the longest part of the sermon, so just, it's okay. Look to heaven. Look to heaven. Sometimes, I told you before, I'm not a runner, but I do run to try to stay somewhat healthy, and I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes on a Monday or Tuesday, which is my day where I run, where I'm on like mile 3.5, I hate my life. And I want nothing more than this to end. And it is that it's going to end is actually what keeps me going, right? It's like, man, I just got 30 more seconds. I can make it. Like, that's all I care about, right? Like, if I start thinking about how painful it is, how much I can't breathe, how much I hate this, how bored I am, because running's boring for me, not for some of you. Like, you love it, right? But if I start thinking about all that stuff, then it gets harder to run. But if I start thinking, like, I just got one more minute, just one more minute I can make this, then it gives me sometimes what I need to move forward. Now, here's my point. Like, we never think about heaven, do we? Like, we don't think about eternity. We don't think about what it means. And here's my deal, and here's what I want to encourage you with, is everything that is making you feel faint-hearted right now is fixed in eternity. So if you're sitting here going, like, I just... I didn't want to hear the voice of God, and I don't hear it, and I try to read his word, and I don't understand it. You know that there will be a day you don't have to go to a book anymore. You will dwell with him. You say, man, I just pray all the time, and I want to know what the will of God is, but I don't know how to do it, and I don't want to engage you. Like, you know what? There's going to be a day you won't have to pray. You say, man, I've been serving this family for years, and they just won't come to faith in Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear the gospel. I'm so discouraged. You know what? There'll be a day where there won't be anybody to share the gospel with. Like, what I'm saying is that everything that makes you feel discouraged now will be wiped away when we get to heaven, and we should look to that day and be reminded of it. It's a reminder of the hope we have in Jesus Christ to think about those things, to be encouraged, to say, man, like, I know this day is rough. I know that I'm tired, but this day will pass and give way to a better one. Period. This is the hope we have in Christ Jesus. Everything that makes us walk in discouragement now will end. Praise be to Christ who will give us a new body. Praise be to Christ who will deliver us from the sins we have been fighting for all of our lives. Praise be to Christ, because that day is coming and we need to be encouraged to look to heaven. So look to heaven. And this one's not in your notes. Should have put it in there, but I didn't. But if you're faint-hearted, don't walk alone. Don't walk alone. Don't walk into a space where you continue to live in discouragement and nobody knows that you're discouraged. If you're a father and you try to pour into your family and your kids and you don't see them growing in the Lord, don't stay in that. Don't feel like a failure. Go to another father. Ask them to pray for you. Ask them to carry those burdens with you. Engage that. Don't walk alone. Engage in community. That's why we do things like gospel life classes. It's why we have community groups, is because when you're faint-hearted is when you need the people of God the most. Anybody who has walked through loss will tell you that the most important thing to them was the body of Christ engaging them, even in the midst of discouragement. So don't walk alone. The third group of people that Paul talks to and talks about in this text are the weak. So those of us here who are weak. So this is what we look like. We want to move forward. We want to take a step. We want to keep running, but we simply don't know how. This isn't wrong. This isn't bad. But you look at things like this and you go, man, I want to study the Word of God, but like, look how big it is. Like, there's stuff in here that makes no sense to me. Like, this is intimidating. Like, how do I engage this? Like, do I just start reading it? Like, where do I even start? Do I start in the beginning? Do I start in the end? Do I start in the middle? Like, do I start with these things called the Psalms? Like, it's so intimidating. So, man, I want to pray, but I just don't know how. Like, I don't know what to say. Listen to me. We live in a culture where we try to heap shame upon people for letting their weaknesses show. Let me tell you something. The only shame there is in being weak in the body in Christ is never telling anybody. That's the shame. You know why? Because we all have weaknesses. And it's by being around people that have greater strengths than us that our weaknesses actually get better. Like, I've told you this before, but here's the thing. Like, I struggle with a weakness in prayer. Like, that's not my natural bend. I'm strong here. But I struggle with prayer. Like, sometimes I just don't know what to say. Like, some silence and stillness is easier for me than prayer because I just don't have the words. I don't know what to engage. So you know what I do? I lean on people like my wife, who has a gift of prayer. I like to spend time and talk to people like Lori Lindholm, who has a gift of prayer. I like to read books from people who were prayers, like George Mueller. I like to pick up books to help guide me to know how to pray through the scriptures. Why? Because I'm weak in it. Like, if you're weak in it, that's great. Just acknowledge it and step into it. Like, engage that. There's no shame in being weak. If you feel weak and you say, man, like, I want to disciple my kids, but I don't know how. Like, that's fine. But here's the key. Ask. Ask. Like, this is what we're all about. This is what the church is. We gather here every week to equip the saints to resource the saints. We stand up here as shepherds trying to like engage, to try to help. But here's the thing. I don't know what half of your weaknesses are. We're guessing. Like, you all have weaknesses. I have weaknesses. But we don't know what they are unless you tell us. Unless you ask for help. And so the pleading here is we want to help. The people around you want to help. But nobody will know how to help if you don't ask. If you go, man, my marriage is falling apart, but I don't have the tools. I don't know what to do to fix it. Ask. It's okay. We all have them. And so that's my point. Ask your pastors. Ask your elders. Ask your community. It is grievous to me to find out when someone is walking in a community group and a marriage falls apart and you're sitting there as they're trying to sign divorce papers and they say, well, we tried, but we just couldn't figure it out. We just didn't know how to do it. And I'm like, why didn't you tell anybody? You were in a community group for 10 years and you never asked for help. Church, ask for help. You're struggling with the sin, don't struggle alone. Ask for help. You don't know how to read the Word of God, ask for help. We're here to resource. And one of the things we're going to talk about in the coming weeks is very practically, because I don't know what all the weaknesses are in the space, we're going to just try to give you some tools to engage some of the ones that we think are most important, like prayer and reading the scripture. And so next week, we're going to talk more about that. So come back to hear more of those tools. But then something really exciting that I'm just so jazzed about is on January 12th, we're launching our Gospel Life Forums. And on January 12th, and in this room, 6 p.m., we have childcare available. We're going to have a forum on how to study the scripture. So you want to know how to deal with this intimidating book and how to engage this? Like, you don't need a Greek, like, master's degree. You just need to know how to do it. And we're going to teach you. We're going to give you resources. You're going to be able to ask questions. Come and engage. Come and learn. Like, we want to provide those things, but you have to ask. You have to engage. Ask your community, ask your pastors. Final type of person that is in this text. It isn't the weak, it's not the faint-hearted, it's not the idle, but it's the strong. And you say, well, where's the strong? Well, they're alluded to because who are the ones doing the encouraging? Who are the ones doing the admonishing? Who are the ones doing the helping? It's the strong. Some of us have seasons in our lives where we're strong, like the Lord is being like abundantly present in our lives for whatever reason, and we're walking strong. So here's my communication to you, my encouragement to you. If by God's grace you enter into 2020 and you feel close to the Lord, you feel like your scripture study is going well, that you are in a relationship with Him and you are walking with Him, if that is you, then here's what you need to do in 2020. You need to find others. Because you're the ones that need to be encouraging and helping those that are in the other spaces. Find other people. You set the pace. You're setting the records for the next generation to come behind you. Like, you're running strong. Like, the church needs you in that season. And you know what's amazing? Is that if you're running strong now, there's going to be a day where you need somebody who's running strong to come along you. To mentor you, to love you, to encourage you. And so if that's where you are right now, man, find other people. Step in. You will find a tremendous joy in the Lord by stepping into the lives of other people. If your marriage is strong, walk with marriages that aren't strong. If your relationship with God and the Word is strong, walk with people that don't know how to engage. If your prayer life is strong, help people who don't know how to pray. Like, this is the season for you to do that. And then my second encouragement to you is this. Don't stop. Don't stop. Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. Don't stop. So like Paul, I urge you this morning, if you are strong, man, pursue Him more in 2020. Serve Him more in 2020. Pray more in 2020. Share your faith more in 2020. And you say, well, is there always more? Well, there's always more of Him. Amen? He is a well that never runs dry and a well you never reach the bottom of. So pursue him more. More and more. Don't stop. Keep running the race that God has set before you. Run the race hard and run it well. I heard it once said, and I'll say it, and I think I've said it here before. You cannot control when you hit the finish line, but you can control how fast you're running when you hit it. Amen? You can't control when the finish line comes, but you can control how fast you're running when you hit it. What a reminder for us. So, this year, regardless of where you find yourself in your journey, whatever the season is, let us also hear the admonishment of Paul. If you're strong, if you're in a faint-hearted space, if you're weak, if you're idle, if you're a mixture of all of them, be patient with each other. Like, don't we all need that? Like, if you're struggling and you want help, but you don't feel like it's coming fast enough, be patient, because we may not know you need it. Like if you're faint-hearted and you're discouraged and you're just waiting for it to come, be patient. Be patient with one another. Love one another to the body of Christ. Like, this is your family. Be patient with us all. What an admonishment, what an encouragement. As I close, I want to acknowledge one last group of people. And it's that group of people who aren't represented in this text. It's the group of people who haven't put their faith in Jesus Christ. I don't care how much you know about Jesus, but if you don't have a relationship with Christ, here's my call to you, and here's my encouragement to you. Here's my invitation to you. When you look at this room, one thing that sets us apart from you is we have a hope in Jesus. The things that make us faint-hearted a lot of times are the same. But for us in Christ Jesus, we have the hope of heaven where our faint-heartedness will go away. If you don't have Christ, you don't have that hope. You will close your eyes and pass into eternity, and the things that discourage your soul today will only be magnified in the life to come. So if you're discouraged and you don't feel like there is satisfaction to your soul, wait until eternity, because you won't find it there. Like, that is such an important thing, and I invite you to look around this room. We have found hope in Christ. It doesn't mean life is perfect. It doesn't mean it always works out well, but here's what we get to do, is we get to rest and be still and hope in him. And secondly, is that we have the body of Christ. And listen, like, we walk this journey together, and we do not do it well sometimes. Like, we certainly don't do it perfectly. Sometimes we eat each other alive, but the point is, and this is the glorious truth of it, come rain or shine, good times or bad, this group of people who know Jesus Christ will be my brothers and sisters for all of eternity. They are my family. They are my support. They will not abandon, because Christ doesn't. And if you don't have Christ, you don't have that anywhere. You just don't. Because your group, your community will leave you as fast as you change whatever you value together in. And I'm just telling you, that won't be the case in the body of Christ. And so here's what I want to do. I want to urge you and invite you to put your trust and your hope in him. And here's what I'm going to do as we close. We're going to enter into a time of communion. And I want to ask you, before we step into this time, would you just bow your heads and close your eyes with me? And I want to just pray over us for a minute. But before I do that, or as I do that, here's what I want you to do. As you have your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to think about the things that we've said today. Where are you? Are you in a space where you feel like you've been idle? Where you come to church and you get from the church, but you don't give to the church. You critique the church, but you don't help the church. You've got all the things that the church does wrong, but you have no solutions to help engage and to see the glory of God go forward. Like, if that's you this morning, Would you just lay that before the Lord? Father, I want to pray for those that even right now the Spirit might be stirring on their hearts to recognize that that's a challenge in their lives. My God, my King, I pray that you would stir their hearts to be busy working for the kingdom of God, and that they would find joy and life on mission for your purposes. For your purposes. I want to ask now for those of you that are in this room and you're faint-hearted. Are you discouraged because you pray but you don't feel like you hear the voice of God? You read the Bible but you don't feel like you're growing. Maybe you want to disciple your families but it's just not going the way you want it to go. Or you've been working on your marriage relationship and it's just not getting better the way you want it to get. And I could go on and on and on about the different faint-hearted spaces, the different discouragements that we all walk through. If that's you this morning, I'm gonna ask you to be bold and just raise your hand. I'm not gonna make you stand up. We're not gonna call you out. We just wanna pray over you. Would you raise your hand if you are in a space of faint-heartedness? My hand is raised. In some areas of my life, I feel very discouraged. Father, I wanna pray for those who were bold enough to just acknowledge that they're discouraged. They're just tired. Father, I wanna pray over them. I pray that even as they engage these things in this year, they would find you. Father, they would be encouraged in their souls. Father, they'd find time to be still and that they would hear your voice, that their hope would be in you. So, Father, I just want to pray over them. Ask that you would be present. Ask that you would encourage their souls, even this morning. But more and more into the new year. This morning, if you're in the space and you're in a space of just weakness, you say, man, I want to disciple my family. I want to defeat this sin. I want to study the scripture. I want to pray, but I just don't know how. Would you raise your hands? Father, I want to pray over these. They want to grow. They want to move forward in their faith. And then, Lord, we pray that you would strengthen them. I pray that you would give them boldness to speak to the community around them. You would give them the boldness to ask for help, whether it's to ask for help in their marriages or in their parenting or in their infertility or whatever that is, Father. They would ask for help that the church could serve and love and equip and carry those burdens with them. But I pray also that they would ask their community and that you would put godly men and women around them who are running strong to serve them and to love them and to encourage them and help them. As we continue to pray, we come to a time of communion, and at this time we are reminded that Christ has purchased salvation for us with his blood. We just got done celebrating the birth of Christ. This table reminds us that it didn't end there. This table reminds us that he was born to an end and to a purpose. And that purpose was to die so that we might be reconciled. And the end was that he would be restored, brought back to life, resurrected, sat upon the throne, and that he would come back again as king. And this table reminds us of the day that will happen and we will feast with him. And so, regardless of where you are today, if you are idle and you confess that to the Lord, his blood is sufficient, his grace is sufficient because his blood is sufficient. If you are discouraged and faint-hearted, come and be reminded that your King died on your behalf. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. If you come to this table and you're weak and you don't know what to do and you know where to go, like, come to this table and be reminded that he left us not as orphans, but he gave us his Holy Spirit and he gave us the church to walk with us. And celebrate in the communion that he's brought us into and be reminded of the work that he's accomplished. This is also a time for us to bring our offerings and to joyfully give that we might be a part of his kingdom. And I'm going to pray. And as I'm praying, I would ask our pastors, elders, prayer counselors, if you would come forward. And as I'm done praying in just a minute, If you raised your hand, or maybe you didn't raise your hand, that doesn't really matter, but you want to talk with someone, we are here to pray with you, to pray over you, to walk this journey with you. And most importantly, if you're here this morning and you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ, don't leave today without finding the hope in Him. It doesn't matter if you've tried religion. Religion's not the point. He's the point. And we want to help lead you to Him. And so we want to pray over you. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. I thank you that your word doesn't leave any of us out of the equation, that it is mindful of the strong. It is mindful of those of us who are discouraged. It's mindful of us who are weak. It's mindful of us who are idle. It's mindful of us who aren't even a part of your church. And it speaks to us all. And I pray this morning, Father, that we would be encouraged walking out of this place, that we would have a new hope for a new day, that if we're faint-hearted, we will walk in hope, that if we're weak, we will find strength, that if we're idle, we will find the work of God, the all-satisfying work of being your people. If we're strong, that we would continue to walk in strength. And Father, if we don't know you, that we would find you. Tomorrow holds hope because you sit upon the throne. And because of the work that we now celebrate and the work that we now are reminded of that was accomplished for us by your Son, Jesus, as he died so that we wouldn't have to. And so, Father, we just pray a blessing upon this time. We pray a blessing upon these gifts. And I pray that, Father, that we would all respond to your word in some way. It's in your name we pray. Amen. As you feel ready, please come to one of the tables around the room if you want to pray. These are up here to pray over you as we continue on in our worship.
Revelation 22 says, "Look, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me," says Jesus, "to repay each person according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. But I, Jesus, have sent my angel to attest these things to you for the churches. I am the root and descendant of David, the bright morning star. Both the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come, Lord Jesus.' Let anyone who hears say, 'Come, Lord Jesus.' Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life freely." Lord Jesus, we feast on the abundance of your house and we drink of the river of your delights. We worship you, Lord.
You give life, you are love.
hearts. Let's shake the ground with our worship. Lift your voices.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great.
Out this morning, and my heartfelt prayer is that if you are in any of these spaces in life this morning, that 2020, you look towards it and there is hope. There is hope for all of us. There's hope for all of us because of Christ. If this is your first time here at Central Christian Church, we're super glad that you're here. Pray that you've been encouraged this morning, that you walk away with something. I want to just encourage you. We've got in our bulletins some questions that you can go through to just kind of help take these ideas beyond just today. And I encourage you to do that. If it is your first time, I'd love to have the opportunity to meet with you, because we don't want you to just come once. We want you to get connected into the body, because we believe there's life there. And so I'd love to just talk with you, get to know you, answer questions, help plug you in. And so right outside these main doors after the service, I'll be out at what we call Info Central booth. You can't miss it. It says Info Central. And I will be out there and love to meet with you. If you feel the Lord speaking to your heart, our prayer warriors and counselors are going to remain up here at the front after the service. I'm going to invite you to come and talk with them after the service. Also in your bulletin there, in your sermon notes, there's actually a place and a number you can text to us and let us know that you're looking for help, or a struggle that you've got, or you want prayer. Please just text that number and we will get to you within literally 24 hours or so. And so we want to try to help connect you into those, whatever it is that you need to help. I want to simply leave us with this. If you are faint-hearted, if you are weak, even if you are in an idle space, if you are walking strong, we just sang a song about great is our Lord. Hear these words. Church, as we go out, worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. May we give those things with our lives, amen, to Him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever, and all of heaven and his church proclaim amen to that. God bless. We hope to see you next week and hope you have a wonderful week.